Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS, I'm KMOX. Can you tell everyone about the settings like you're telling me?
Yes. So I run the board on the show, and everyone's mic is set at a certain level. Me, Amy, and Ron are all at like the normal red mark on the standard.
Yeah.
And then Dave, I have potted up a little bit at your request because you've said before.
A little quiet.
Wheels, I have about 18 below everybody else, and he's still the loudest.
I know. By far.
I know.
Danny's weird. You're still vaccination.
You think
weird.
I'm weird?
Yeah.
I don't think I'm weird anymore.
Yeah, you are.
I mean, not weirder than usual.
You are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In what
you
way?
Were doing your nonverbal thing for most of the day. You were in spurts. You were either like nonstop chatting in the office, or you'd go like a whole hour of just like complete silence.
So basically what I always do.
No. Normally it's all talking.
Kevin, are you depressed?
He's depressed. Oh.
What are you depressed about?
Still hurt?
No, it's good.
That's good.
Look at that. See?
Stop doing that. That's
maybe,
not good.
Maybe the vaccine like killed something inside of him.
Yeah.
There was nothing in there before.
Or brought something to life.
Yeah, see, that might be more likely.
Woke something up.
Yeah.
I asked Dave, he said you were acting weird. And I said, what's weird for him?
Yeah,
he said,
what was
normal.
I doing weird?
Oh. Normal is weird for you.
Oh.
Yeah, you seem like a normal, pleasant person.
Yeah.
That's what's weird. It's
strange. It is. It's strange.
Yeah.
Go back.
Ah, all right.
I was just thinking, Megan did a story about how we're having a new flag made, and it just brought back a memory of sixth grade. We were designing flags, and we had like a month, and I, of course, waited till the night before and then made my mom do it. And what it really made me think of, though, is like, because I've had anxiety my whole life, but I am responsible for 99% of it. Just not doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Oh, I see what you mean.
You know?
Yeah.
Just not. I don't think I've ever once in my life, like, if you give me any assignment, whether it's taking out the trash or writing a brief or preparing something, it doesn't matter what the deadline is you give me. I will be done right before the deadline. I've never once, like if you give me a week, I've never said, I'm going to start this today. Not once.
No.
Never. Not professionally, not personally.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Is that not a symptom of ADHD?
I think it's a symptom of humans. I mean, it's kind of a thing, because there was like a TED Talk, this guy gave this really funny TED Talk about this, on how you feel the pressure as the deadline gets closer and closer. Like, you are more unusual as a person if you perfectly space out the amount of time you've been given to get things done. That's not really natural to anyone.
Okay, I feel better. Yeah. I really do feel better.
Yeah, it was a really funny TED Talk. It was about, like, he used the analogy of pirates and monkeys on a ship, and like it was pretty good. Yeah,
I want to hear the story about the monkeys.
It was really good. I played it for my class when I was back when I was teaching, and everyone's like,
the little
kid, gosh,
wonder if you're a goyle.
I think he was in that class. He had grown up.
Showing him a TED Talk.
There's monkeys.
This class is for boys and goyles.
And goyles.
Wow.
I'm having the inside of my house painted this week, and they wanted to get there at 7 in the morning. I know. I told them, like, let's do 7:30. But I'm out of my house at 7:30 every day, and I got nowhere to go.
Like, I was walking with your hands behind your back down the street.
Like, I was in here at 8, and everyone's like, is something wrong? And then Nick met me over at Chris's at 8:30, and I was back here by 9.
And then you're like, well, now what?
Yeah, now what?
Should have put that off a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
How badly did your house need to be painted?
Bad.
Okay.
So,
because I'm thinking of like the putting things off thing that we were just talking about. If I had a house that I lived in solo, I'm not sure if my house needed to be painted that I would get to it.
Yeah.
I think I'd just
give it, it's fine. Yeah. It's fine. It's fine. And that would do that for years.
Just won't have people over anymore. That'd be like me.
Yeah.
I lived in my previous apartment for just over a year. I was in the other one for years and moved and didn't like it. But anyway, the pictures all leaned up against the wall for a year. I never hung any of them up. Yeah. And I thought, well, now that I'm moving to a place that I like, I hear all these cute picture frames. They are all on the floor. It's been 8 months.
Yeah.
So which means it's been 20 months since I've hung a picture.
I had a picture.
I think they look good on the floor in general. I'd keep my pictures there too.
It's the main idea.
I agree with you. I had a picture that was on the wall and it fell off in 2020. It's still there.
Yeah. Nice. You guys are making me feel better.
Yeah. It's still on the floor.
Remember, details.
I decided I was going to do an arm workout because, I don't know, as I approached 40, I mean, now I'm over 40, but as I approached 40, I was like, oh no, I'm going to get bingo wings. You know what bingo wings are?
Mm-mm.
It's when you go bingo and then your underarm flaps a lot.
We used to call that circus.
Oh, circus?
Yeah.
Oh. I don't know
what
to
say. Your flappy underarm is circus.
Well, those are bingo wings. Yeah. Anyway, so I got this like 7-pound weight, which is as heavy as I can handle. And it's still like covered in like the plastic where it's like purple weights and green weights and pink weights. So it's a green one. And I put it in the back of my car and I thought, I'm going to start doing this. That thing sat in the back of my car for 8 months.
Mm.
I never even got it out of the car. I was like, oh, I'll get that later.
That's what I do.
Do you do this too?
It depends. There are some things that I'm on the money. I will always do it first thing first. And there are other things I just don't care. It's all about my level of care. If it's not about bingo wings. Yeah, but you don't care enough to get the weight out of the car, you know? Like, because it's not an imminent thing, like the deadline thing you're talking about.
I started my day especially weird after breakfast because I was sitting in my office and it's really cold in the office and I was covered up with a pink Stop Breast Cancer blanket and Colonel Jeff McCausland walked in.
I didn't see the Colonel today.
Yeah.
Dang it.
And it was Andrew at first. And I'm like, I don't care if he sees me in my pink blanket. And then he's like, say hello to Colonel Jeff McCausland. I'm like, what the hell is what?
He's like, move the second.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Yeah. I got a camel one under here, too.
I'm so used to, he has such a distinct voice and I'm so used to hearing him, either we're interviewing him or like at Total Information AM or you guys, like he is the CBS military correspondent and he was talking in the hallway and I feel like we were being briefed on the Middle East, even though he was just talking about his day.
Yeah, he couldn't have been nicer and more normal and his brothers live here in town and he's going to see the Cubs and just like, you can't see the Cubs. You're Colonel Jeff McCausland. You just sit around and wait for us to call.
I would love to get the tactical breakdown after the ball game.
Yeah. He was, he's not hopeful just about the world.
Oh.
Yeah, he was just talking about Gaza and Ukraine and
kind of everything's
a lot of not good.
Yeah.
There's a lot of not good right now.
I think there's kind of always been a lot of not good, though.
Just like we know more about it?
No, somewhat. I mean, but I think it cycles too. Like, as again, 80s, 90s was relatively chill on the large scale conflicts.
Yeah.
But before that, it wasn't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like it was chill in the 60s and 70s. It certainly wasn't chill in the 40s.
True. I would have thought the 40s was the end of the world.
That's what a lot of people did think. Yeah. I mean, and where did I see that? Oh, it was a separate thing. It was about J.R.R. Tolkien and what he had lived through in World War I. And it kind of determined how he wrote and why it seemed like there are all these big, scary things, because he had seen the worst of people.
Yeah.
And it was a breakdown of one of the quotes that one of the things that Gandalf was talking about with, it might have been Sam, but it was probably Frodo. But they were talking about how terrible the world is.
Yeah. You made the girls laugh.
I got a text, and then I came to, and it's like, well, one thing Gandalf was telling Sam. Yeah. I'm like, what did I miss?
Well, Gandalf was Sam. Maybe it was Frodo.
It was his tone of voice.
Yeah. But it was a line.
Well, whatever it is, I need you to get it right before you proceed.
Yeah. It was a line about, like.
Yeah, if it's not Frodo, I don't know what I'm going to do.
It was a line about how everybody that lives through terrible times wishes they hadn't lived through terrible times, but you have to take the time you have and you're in and you have to manage that. And that was Tolkien talking about his experience of World War I, which people thought was the end of the world
at the time. That does not sound like Frodo.
You know, here's what made it funny is that you
what
spoke,
Samwise Gamgee say in response
you
to that?
Spoke about Frodo and Sam and Colonel Jeff McCausland like exactly the same.
Yep.
Like they're all just as real talking in the hallway.
Well, I mean, Tolkien's real. Yeah, it's his words.
And you told the story as if you ran into the room out of breath.
I know.
And you're like, get this.
Yeah.
Because Tolkien.
I remembered a thing.
Gandalf was talking to Frodo. I think it was Frodo.
And I wasn't taking any interruptions either.
Could have been Sam.
Y'all can keep making jokes. I'm going to keep talking.
Carl Middleman.
I know. Great. I do that sometimes.
I don't know if it was Frodo or Colonel McCausland in the hallway at this point.
Guys, huge news. You won't believe what Frodo said.
There was a thing.
So speaking of dork stuff, you almost won Magic the Gathering last night?
I did. I was one stupid mistake.
What did you do?
Yeah, I gotta hear it.
Well, okay, so I was holding up Green Man at a place next to Skin Veil. I didn't bring up girls. It's half girls, though. The girls go there.
You guys like goyles? With bosoms.
No, I was holding up Green Mana for a snakeskin veil. You guys know what that's like.
Yeah,
I forgot to actually play it when I was targeted.
Come on. You are such an
idiot.
Dude,
I wouldn't have done that.
I mean,
I tried to take it back, which my opponent, I had let him take something back.
You tried to cheat.
I didn't try to cheat. I tried to take it back, which I had let him take something back. And I was like, man, can I take this move back? And he was like, well, it would like win you the game if you did that. And I was like, yeah, I know. That's why I want to take it back.
All of your opponents seem so mean when you do their voice.
Yeah.
No, they're not. I mean, everyone who goes there is really nice and great. And they're all way smarter than I am. So it's incredible that I ever win any games at all.
So you get second?
They're all like data scientists and stuff. Yeah.
Nice. Was there a prize?
There were prizes of, they gave you little booster packs, which are how you get more cards.
Nice.
So they
awesome.
He got beat up in the parking lot. That's your prize.
Were we talking?
Yeah, my prize is like
you lost. You get beat up outside.
I can't remember when we had this conversation.
They throw rocks at me.
If you said that you are the most attractive man there, or like the 12th most, why do I not remember?
I would have said I am the second most attractive guy there. Out of the four guys, I think I was number.
There were only four.
Was it a tournament of four people?
No, there were six people.
Oh, I thought this was a huge.
And
one,
oh no,
one was your wife.
Like a... Yeah, one of them was my wife.
So you're a more attractive man than your wife?
I am a more attractive man than my wife.
33% of the tournament was you and your wife?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was like a...
Yeah, I didn't say it was like the world championships.
Oh, I thought it was like dozens of people.
I thought there were 100 people there.
So there was one guy hotter than you and one guy less hot.
Two guys less hot.
Oh, okay.
There were two girls, four guys, and I would say two of the guys were...
Okay.
Can we see the really hot one?
Is
he the one that beat you?
Yeah, I can try and find him. No, I beat him. His name was Peter. He's lovely.
No. Lovely Peter.
He's lovely. Very handsome.
Well, is he Magic the Gathering handsome, or is he handsome?
I don't know what that's supposed to mean, Chris.
Well, you know exactly what that means. It's all relative.
There are, like, very handsome guys that play this game. I don't know what to tell you.
If Pajeski walked in there, would he be a god?
No. He would have been the fourth most attractive.
Oh, get out.
I had a friend who
he would have been the fourth out of five.
I had a friend who he would always be, you know, he said he was kind of dorky, but he loved going to the comic book store, and he went there one time with his friend, and his friend's like, "Oh my gosh, I can see why you go here. You are the James Dean of the comic book store." That's why he felt
all relative,
great about
man.
It. Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. We got a bunch of handsome people here in St. Louis to play. I can't speak to comics, but I can speak to...
There's a lot of judgment going on.
I might move into a 55-plus housing place and just rule it. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. You got to come to me if you want something.
I got to go play basketball against a bunch of fourth graders. I'm going to feel like Shaquille O'Neal.
I also have been in this weird position when I'm playing where I've never been complimented on this before, but everybody is they're like, wow, you have such an amazing poker face when you play. Like, you don't show any reaction to anything. I can never tell what's... You know, I can never tell when you're bluffing. I can never tell when you're, you know, going to make a play, when you're happy, when you're not happy. And it's so hard for me to not be like, oh, it's easy. You just be dead inside. It's easy. Yeah.
So you're not trying to do it.
No. It's like you just let life beat you down into a pulp and then crawl back up from the sewers. And that's what you're left with.
Back to the Magic tournament.
Yeah.
I think maybe you should do a TED talk.
They're like, I can't tell when you're happy or not. It's like, oh, it's because I feel nothing.
Did anyone accuse you of cheating this time?
Nobody accused me of cheating, which is good.
That's good. It's an improvement.
Yeah. I think because I wasn't winning by like that much. They were pretty thin margins.
Yeah.
Just barely squeaking by.
You are tardy, playa.
And no one accused me of that either.
And you're the second best looking guy there, so.
I mean, you know, they're like.
Once Peter was out there, like, don't mess with Andrew.
Yeah. Peter had to step out for a phone call for a while, and I was like.
That seems like.
Yeah, you ain't getting no phone calls.
That doesn't seem above board.
No.
You can't just leave a tournament to take a phone call.
Well, it was in between games. And he stepped out to take a phone call.
He gets away with everything because he's so good looking.
Yeah,
that's the thing. That's the thing. No one's going to call him on it. No. It's like, you know, I mean, look at him.
Would he be the most attractive guy in this room?
No, because you're in it, Dave.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
wow.
God's sake.
I know. I hope I was hoping he'd go Ranji on that one.
He teed that one up.
Damn.
He almost answered honestly, though.
Yeah.
Did you catch it?
Well, I had to think. I had to really think about it.
Way to go, Andrew. You won't get fired for at least one more year.
No, I think he'd be number three.
Oh, that's rude.
Yeah.
Damn.
That's really
rude. Someone just lost their chair.
Yeah, forget it.
What?
Musical chairs.
I'm just saying there's two
three.
Guys that Peter would be better looking than and two that maybe he would.
Wait. Oh.
I hope he doesn't listen.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking Peter's the same thing.
He's like, what the hell, man?
Why would bother him about it?
I don't know.
He's getting nothing but love.
I don't know. You'd think I was weird, which is fine.
Honestly, even probably everybody feels that way, even who's not Peter, when they listen.
That I'm weird?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because well, like you threw mice in the intersection.
Yeah. That,
no, because everybody
you
does.
Drive and read.
Everybody
in the fast
does
lane.
That. They just don't talk about it. Okay. It's
just, no one. Everybody.
I got news
mice.
For you, brother. No one's ever done it. I mean,
let a mouse live in your car
do
for a
lot
while.
Of bad things, but no one's ever
thrown
a bag full of mouse into an intersection and ran. 124 in DGS on KMOX. It's my mom's birthday today. Happy birthday to Grandma Glover. Would have been 97 years old.
Happy birthday.
Still can't get over that.
Just 97?
It's just anything that's over 90, it blows me away.
We are pretty sure, because we lost track, but we're pretty sure that one of her aunts is still alive. Mm. She's like 105 living in a nursing home in California.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good genetics.
Good genetics. Yeah, my mom's grandma lived to be 103.
Oof.
Her grandpa lived to be 104. We're talking about dying in the 30s, you know, like when everyone died at 20. Mm-hmm. So
you're going to see 20. You're going to see the year 2100.
I don't know if I want to. I don't know. Like if I could age, I don't even mean like great because I have Alzheimer's in my family and I have the gene and it hits pretty early. And so I'm turning 60 tomorrow, and I'm like, I mean, I don't mean to be all dark, but I mean, I could have like 10 years because you don't know. Hmm. You just don't know. But if I could live without it, bring it on. Yeah. I mean, I don't mind being old. I don't mind being old and old.
Just want to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. I would rather be there and hopefully meet grandkids and things like that. But yeah, I didn't know you were over 40, Aim. So like 40 is a thing. Rach just, you know, turned 30 a couple years ago. That's a thing. 60 is a thing. Mm-hmm. 60 is you're walking through the door of old age. You may not be old. I don't think I'm old. I don't think I look old. I don't think I act old. I certainly don't feel old, but you're walking through the door. It's like right this way, sir.
I mean, we all are. It's just one
right
year at a time,
right?
This way
to your old age.
Yeah. It is super, to me, super interesting, and maybe it's a matter of perspective or... I think some of it is obviously better, you know, medical care that we just know more about health and wellness and curing diseases and all of that than we did 50 years ago, 30 years ago. Like when we were kids, my grandmother in her 40s seemed ancient to me.
For sure.
Right. I know it's because you're a kid, but even when you're like 20 and you're looking at the people that like your college professors, you're like, oh, they're old. And they were probably 45.
Yeah. When I was a lawyer, so I was 25, 26, and the partners in my firm were 46, 47, and they weren't old, but they were old.
Yeah. And they looked and acted the way you expected
like
that age.
Ups.
And yeah, and I think that our generations just don't do that.
Yeah.
We're just big kids.
I remember turning 30 thought was like, oh God, I'm going to be 30. This is and in hindsight, 30 was awesome. It's a good year. Let's go back to that.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
132 DGS and KMOX. Happy Thursday. Just thinking about something. You know how. Like if you were to die and they were to do like a life review and they had statistics and Venn diagrams and stuff, like on my list of things that I dreaded and fretted and feared, you know what would be in the top three?
Mm-mm.
Spin the bottle. I was terrified of playing spin the bottle. And I only played it once my entire life. I kissed my friend Stacy, who had been my best friend by my whole young childhood. I had thought of her as a boy, not a goyal. And but I just remember being so terrified of doing it wrong. And isn't it so dumb? Because you look back and you're like, well, you were 12, 13. You could have pieced together that everyone's doing this for the first time. No one's going to be great at it. And but I was just so, I don't know what I thought I was going to do, like use my elbow or something. But I remember asking Brad Wells, the police chief in Wood River, because he had made out with girls because he was worldly. And I said, just tell me what you do. When you French kiss a girl, yeah. What do you do?
And to be clear, you asked Brad this when he was also a kid.
He was not the chief of police at the time.
He was not the chief of police at the time. That would be really weird.
No, I texted him last night.
Officer, I need a hand.
And I'm like, just come clean.
Just tell me.
How do you make out with women? But I asked him that at 13, and he goes, it's so easy. You just open your mouth, you put your tongue in their mouth, and you move it around. And I'm like, listen, I need you to straighten up.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but I know what it's not, and it's not that.
That's disgusting.
That is.
How
dare
you?
You're going to lead me into looking like a fool. What the hell are you doing? Would you talk to Brad Wells or something?
I see you texting the chief of police as well.
What intimidated you as a kid?
Everything.
Yeah.
I was terrified of everything as a kid.
The times table test.
I'm terrified of everything now.
That was it.
I was so shy and I was so scared of, like, especially girls I didn't know. I remember one year in Bible school. This is embarrassing. I can't believe I'm about to admit this on the radio, but there was like a girls' table and a boys' table. And then there was like a little chair in between the tables. And I sat at that chair to be closer to my brother because I was so shy and so intimidated by all the other kids. And they were like, why aren't you sitting over there? And I'm just like, don't worry about it. I'm terrified of all of you.
Oh, it's cute.
It's adorable.
It's not cute. It was terrible. I mean, like, I think of it now and I'm embarrassed. I'm like, why didn't you just sit down? They would have been super nice. But I was just so scared.
At the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's so upsetting when she's like, I'm going to say something so horribly embarrassing. And it's like, okay, good. Here we go.
And then it's a cute story.
And then it's like, I sat in a slightly different table that a lot of people weren't sitting at.
I
think about it every day.
Yeah.
I get kicked out of vacation Bible school. For real. They drug me out by my arm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What'd you do?
You did something secular, right?
Yeah. My brother dared me to ask if we even knew there was a God.
Oh, man.
That'll do it.
Yeah. They were Southern Baptists. They didn't take to that too well.
Shouldn't they have an answer for that?
I know.
They didn't give it to me.
It's kind of a question you should be prepared to answer.
Yes, exactly.
I'm cool with that question.
I'm sure you have a great answer.
Kid. Settle down.
Yeah.
I feel like I was really like not scared. I was nervous about things. Like, I would see the news and take in world events like the Gulf War and all of these things.
Man.
I took that in, but like, as far as like my daily life, I wasn't scared. It was like, all right, I'm gonna go do and try everything. And I feel like I've thought about this lately. As I've gotten older, I think I've become more scared in some ways, which I feel like should be the opposite. But I mean, I was like, hey, let's go. Let's do this. Let's try this. Let's play this sport. I mean, I just let's get up and sing in front of people or recite. Like, I didn't have any fears as a kid as far as my life doing things. But I remember my mom said, like, you would take in the news or you would see a newscast and your like little brain didn't know what to do with all that information. Like, well, are we at war? What does that mean? You know, just trying to figure out what that looked like.
Can't relate. I was the opposite.
I think I was too.
Completely oblivious to anything going on outside my little world. Yep. My little world was full of stress.
Hmm. Well, yeah, I was more. Yeah, I think I was more nervous of things when I was younger than I am now. Because I don't know, I have this attitude about a lot of things. That's not a big deal. Like, everything's not a big deal. Some things are, but I feel like fewer things are a big deal than what I thought of when I was 20, you know, or like when 25 years ago, right? So you find out that, like, being in trouble, for example, not that big of a deal.
You learned that early, I guess.
Yeah. It's not that big of a deal.
You're really right.
I will say this, like, with things being a big deal, I know this is slightly different than what you're talking about, but, like, my parents and I credit them, which is why I think I probably wasn't afraid to try anything. So I loved football when I was like 9, 10, 11. I wanted to be in the NFL. And I watched football. I'd play football in the front yard, like, by myself. You know, I'd, like, throw the football around. And
I don't think you have the size for it.
Well, that's what I realized. Eventually, I didn't have the size. But when I was, like, 9, 10, 11, which my parents, of course, knew it probably wasn't going to happen. But they didn't say, well, you can't, you're a girl, there aren't any women in the NFL. But they also didn't say, that's right, you'll be the first female player. Mm. They just said, okay, well, if you want to be in the NFL, you better practice. Right? So, like, it never even occurred to me that, you know, like, if you made it to the NFL, you'd be breaking a barrier. Because it never occurred to me that girls don't play football because they didn't make a big deal about it. They just said, okay, well, you better practice.
Yeah.
And then as I stopped growing at 12, I was like, I don't think I'm big enough. And they're like, well, that might be right. You might not be
big enough. It's good
parenting. Yeah. But it was cool because I never, you know, even hockey, it wasn't like, well, girls don't play hockey. They didn't say that. Okay, well, you better practice.
Yeah. Yeah, I came from the Jack Glover school of parenting where every time I wished for something, he would tell me to wish in one hand and crap in the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See which one filled up first. I didn't get a lot of that. Yeah. You could make it to the NFL, buddy.
What it's a real motivational thing, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a real way of stunting your growth.
Thanks for the pep talk, Dad.
But no, they didn't say you would. They just said you better practice. Like, you know, they weren't going to blow smoke and be like, you could be anything you want to be. Well, that's not true either.
Yeah.
You better practice. It's just, why don't you start working on that?
Usually when I spoke up and said things that I wanted or desired or wished for, they'd say, who's this one again?
Oh.
Yeah. I was 11 years behind the last one, so.
He was like, whoa.
Yeah, no, they, I mean.
Yeah, they were like, oh.
My mom was 38 when she had me in 1964, which was like being 52.
Yeah,
right? In 1964.
Yeah.
So,
almost a miracle. Like, this woman.
Pretty much.
Back then, that was super late.
I don't think that's what my dad was thinking.
Yeah.
You know what?
That's a miracle.
Some sort of miracle.
I think there's something to that because I think about what I would be like if I were a parent, and I have this very strong feeling that if anything ever went wrong with the kid, I'd be like, "You're fine." I think if you're like,
"You're
okay."
Your parenting style?
Yeah, like you're okay. Stop. You're fine. I really, instead of being like, "Oh, are you okay? Is everything okay?"
Yeah, I don't see as you as a doter.
I don't think I would be. Like, yeah, you're all right.
I don't
get
see
up.
You hovering.
Yeah. So what a log
like
fell on you. You're
dropped
fine.
Dropped me down the stairs.
Twice.
Yikes.
Well,
once
baby.
Down the stairs, once when he was asleep, he was holding me on a couch or a chair, and he dropped me.
Oop. Man, one time I could make a movie of this. I remember it so well. I was probably 3 or 4, and my sister was having a listen to records and dance party in the basement.
That's fun.
Like a movie from the 50s. Mm-hmm. And I was in love with every girl down there.
Yes.
And I thought I had a shot at them.
How do I know that song?
And
bird is the word.
Yep.
And I was standing at the top of the stairs and I had a wiffle ball bat between my legs. And I was just thinking of some way to impress them. And I got ass over a tea kettle and just went somersaulting down the stairs. And when I hit the bottom, it knocked my wind out. And it was like, and they're all standing over me, and the pretty girls were like, "Oh my God, is he okay?" And I'm like, "I can't breathe." And they took me upstairs and laid me on a gray Naga hide couch that was covered in those plastic coverings everyone had in the 70s. Oh, I just remember it so well.
Did it work?
I got a lot of sympathy.
Hey. Yep. Hey. Yeah, that's a start.
I brought the party to a screeching halt.
That's even better.
They all went back downstairs talking about what a cool guy you were.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But isn't that weird?
In my experience, pity is much better
that's
than,
been like,
than being the impressive.
56 years, and I remember the thoughts I had going down the stairs. Like, well, this is embarrassing.
Well, this simply will not do.
This is going to garner me no ladies.
By the way, that when you're a kid, that feeling of getting the wind knocked out of you.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Don't do it in front of her.
What?
This I think one. It's sometimes I do think it's funny.
Oh, I mean, it is when it happens to someone else.
Yeah,
it's just
it
not
is.
When
they,
it happens
thank
to you.
It's always funny when someone else can breathe.
Yeah. You think it's funny when somebody can't breathe?
They can breathe.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
They're just
not
on
that
a little
moment
delay.
You can.
Yeah, but they'll
they're
be fine. You know, they're seconds away from being
first,
fine.
Imagine, the first time it happens, though, it's terrifying.
Yeah, when you're a kid, yeah. Absolutely.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Yes. Thank God. Thank God there are so few situations.
When's the last time that happened
life?
To you? Anyone? When's the last time you had the wind knocked out of you?
I know only because I played ice hockey. So I know it was like probably 2008.
No.
So I was
I bet mine's
adult.
Been since like junior high.
Yeah.
It happened to me last year, but I like ran into a chair or something. Like, it was not a flattering situation. It was not like I was going to a war with somebody and I, you know, I wasn't boxing. Like, yeah. I ran into a chair or something and it hit me right in that plexus.
Yeah.
Huh.
Ooh. No good.
Yeah. Not hockey. I don't know.
Yeah. So I think for me, I think it was college for me.
Yeah. Right, because you could probably get run
Chad
into.
Rupp ran me over.
Yeah.
Ah, oh, Chad Rupp.
With a car?
No.
Knocked the wind out of him, that's it.
No.
Yeah.
Baseball.
He was fine.
I was catching, trying to block home plate, and he was bigger than me, and he knocked the living crap out of me.
Yeah.
But I held on to the ball.
You lie there, and you're like.
No, I got up and pretended I was fine because really? I didn't want anybody to think I wasn't, but I couldn't breathe at all.
My worst one was playing sandlot football. And
yeah, you'll get him there.
Got tackled, and the football was like on its point.
And you landed on it?
Yeah.
Oh, you're lucky you didn't break any ribs.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That was a bad one.
Yeah, those are the worst.
I've never heard of someone landing on the pointy end of
a
football.
Do not like.
Yeah, I don't recommend it.
Do not like.
Yeah. It's almost, probably, which was worse, that or when you would jam your finger and your friend would insist on grabbing it and pulling it out?
Oh.
That happened so many times.
Yeah.
I probably had that happen at least 5 times per hand.
And the thing is, there was no doubt in your mind that he was doing the right medical thing. You know, your friend's 10, and he's like, you know what you need to do? We got to pull that out.
Yeah, pull that.
And so you know it's good, solid medical advice.
Right,
you just don't want to go through the procedure.
Yeah. Because it hurts.
It hurts.
Yeah.
I'm having a hard time believing Kevin had a vulnerable moment and lied to everybody in it.
Oh, I was not letting anybody know that it hurt. No chance.
I could breathe.
Nope, I couldn't breathe for like 5 seconds, and I was just pretending that I was fine.
5 seconds? I've had those last like a minute.
Yeah, it didn't last that long. But I was definitely not going to let anybody know it.
You know what else sucks? What playground toy blows? No one's ever had fun on them once. Is the monkey bar that like Al Qaeda uses in the video?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, the training bars.
Yeah, the training video.
Just a straight monkey bar?
Yeah, the straight monkey bar. Like the one that's sort of like a box, like a helix.
Like you can be inside it.
You can play a game. It's a general store. What can I do to help you? But when you're just like, no one can do it. I couldn't do it now. I'm like, no one can just actually. No, there's one freak kid who doesn't do well in math who can do that like a monkey. And then you're like, oh, my God.
Hey, I did okay in math.
What is this box helix monkey bar you're talking about?
You know, the one that's like a big box of the.
Mm-hmm. We didn't have that.
We had the regular stuff.
Well, there was one that was kind of like a dome shape.
Yeah.
We didn't have that either.
You didn't have that?
Did you have the straight one?
Yeah.
We would hang upside down and talk to each other.
Oh, that's scary. That leads to making out. You should have seen Brad hang upside down. Smart Math Rage.
Said, officer, get back to work.
So if you can eliminate.
So let me see if I'm like you guys, you're weird. So when I go home and I'm watching the Cardinals on my Fubo, whatever it is, and I'll get there 10, 15, 30 minutes later than the game, and it will give me the choice, start it from the beginning or watch it live. I cannot start it from the beginning. I have to watch it live. I can't be watching something that already happened while something is happening now. Are you guys like that?
Yep.
Or will you watch it from the beginning?
I cannot watch recorded sports.
I can, but only under very limited circumstances.
So like with the U.S. Open, right, it's going on constantly. Mm-hmm. I'll turn it on. It'll be a match. It'll say start from beginning. I always start from beginning because then you can also fast forward commercials.
No, that's mm-hmm.
Right. See, that's one thing. On a game like that, you'll catch up 3 innings in half an hour at the most because you'll skip it. You can go like the slow fast forward during the action and skip all the slow stuff and then stop if you want to watch an action play. And then commercials are gone and all that. So you catch up pretty quick. I've done it for college football a good bit when I'm coaching because – I'm on the field and I'm not going to get updates and I'm not going to see it because if I'm in a normal world, I'm going to get updates. I'm going to see it. There's no point, but I can catch up on that. You miss the first half of a game. You'll be caught up by the end of the third quarter. You're live for the fourth quarter.
Well, that's different. If I have I have this psychological thing that if I know the game is over and it's been decided, I can't watch it.
You just want to find out.
Well, yeah, but it's almost like nothing can change while I'm watching it. If that makes sense,
now,
because it's already happened.
I see what you mean. Yeah. That's it.
That's the kind of weird I am, too.
I can't do it.
Yep. I don't like to, but I can.
Like, if you're working sports and you need to watch it for information purposes, that's one thing.
Right,
but
right,
to enjoy
right.
a game, if I know it's over, like the Olympics, I didn't watch hardly any of it during the day, and therefore I wasn't interested in watching at night because I knew it was all over already.
That's like, yeah, you're right. If I'm, like, again, watching a match that is still going on, I like knowing I can catch up, see what's going on, and then watch it live.
Yep.
Versus if the match is over, I'm not going to watch it.
You ever stop watching a game because you feel like you're making them lose?
Nope.
No.
Because you're not.
I've been too afraid to look, though.
Yeah, I haven't either. That'd make you some sort of psycho. Like you control the world. Pity those people.
I have been too afraid to look. Like in a big moment, like a big field goal, I can't look.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I get that, though. I understand that.
Yep.
Not looking or feeling like you affect it?
No, the not looking part. I get that.
Yeah,
I don't do it.
I didn't understand the other one either.
Yeah, I know.
I'm with you. Weirdos.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.